A little boy was saying his prayers with his mother by his bedside, and he was audibly praying to God. And Mom was kneeling next to the bed listening to his prayer. The little boy prayed for his parents and his siblings and others in the family. And then he prayed, "And God, I really want a new bicycle." After the prayer, his mother said, "You know, God's not deaf." And the little boy said, "Yeah, I know, but Grandma's in the other room and she's hard of hearing." Isn't it true that sometimes we use prayer like that? That prayer for us is something like a magic lantern. And when we want something or need something, we rub it and we hope, faith, pray that we'll get what we want. Or like an emergency call button that we wear around our neck, ignoring it most of the time until, oh, something's up, push the button. Sometimes prayer is like that for us. In our selfishness, in our tendency just to be fine until we really need God, then we call God in prayer. It's a common human failing and something we think about today under the context of our new sermon series called Becoming Circle Makers, based on our congregational reading book. I hope you'll get a copy. They're still available in Star Hall after worship. Mark Batterson, the author, uses this concept, this metaphor, if you will, of drawing circles as a way to think about how we are to surround the issues and needs and concerns of our lives and of life itself, surround them with prayer. And he gives some wonderful examples. And today we think about how to pray God-sized prayers when we do pray. Now, sometimes when we think about size and we think about God, well, God is great, God is good, so we automatically think big prayers. And that's not how I think of it today. I think today, when we talk about God-sized prayers, we have to first think about the nature and the character of God. Thus, then, so our prayers will fit the size, if you will fit God. The size of our prayer, large or small, still has to fit. It has to fit the nature and the character of God. So we think about the nature and character of God today and then think about how we can pray. Your situation may be easy or hard now. Your circumstance may be light or heavy. The people in your lives may have problems or are sailing free. Your loved ones may be well or sick. Your challenges may be small or large. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, we think today about surrounding those things with prayer. Prayer that fits the character of God. So we're, in a sense, talking about praying rightly. Because often our prayers are not unlike that little boy who's just out to get a bicycle. In our modern affirmation of faith, you'll find in the hymnal, we sometimes use it, there is a wonderful phrase describing God in modern language. It says, God whose will, talking about God now, whose will is ever directed towards his children's good. I like that. God's will is ever directed toward his children's good, toward your good, toward my good. This is what God intends. This is what God wants. Our good. Details of that? What are God's desires for us? What is God's good for us? God wants us to live fully alive, spiritual lives. Oh, we're so consumed with bodily things, but we're souls first, happen to be in body. So God's desire for us, God's good for us, is to live fully alive, abundant, Jesus calls it, spiritual lives. God's will, God's desire, God's good for us is to learn to live lives that demonstrate unconditional love on a regular basis. Unconditional love. And God's will, God's desire, God's good for us is that we participate in the building of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's exactly what Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. So we remember that These are the things that God wills for our good. Sometimes it's hard to see the direct connection. But God's will for us is good as we do these things. Participate in building the kingdom. Live lives of unconditional love. Become fully alive and abundant Christians spiritually. Jesus prayed all the time. Scriptures report about 100 times in the New Testament when Jesus either went off to pray or just stood right where he was and prayed. Prayer for Jesus was a lifeline to his heavenly Father, and he modeled for us that it is to be the same. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He drew circles of prayer around his disciples. It was so critical that they come to understand how they would carry on the work after he left. Jesus prayed for the crowds around him, the everyday people who came with needs of body, soul, relationships. He prayed circles around them in his care and compassion for them. Jesus prayed for the outcasts. He had a special heart for those who were on the outside looking in. And he prayed circles around them that they might feel welcome and that they might know that they were equally loved of God. And Jesus prayed circles around his enemies because he knew that they knew not what they were doing. So our prayers, if they're God-sized prayers, are in the spirit of Jesus. They fit the character of Jesus. And so, just as God is all love, our prayers need to be filled with love, praying love for other people. Just as God is good, we pray for the good of others. You see the connection. So think now about your circumstance, your situation, the people in your lives that you want to pray circles around. And think to yourself how you've been praying or how you need to pray for them, fitting the character and the nature of God. Our praying, the scripture this morning, tells us our praying can be very confident. You can confidently pray to God, especially as your prayers fit God's character. And the story of the centurion is a fascinating and powerful one. Tracy, a moment ago, read about the centurion who was a Roman soldier in charge of 100 other soldiers. So he's up the ladder of command a little bit. And the Roman centurion was a man of authority, a man who told other people what to do. But here he finds himself in this helpless situation of having a servant who is suffering terribly. That's fascinating. Another sidebar to the story is that usually we wouldn't expect a Roman or really anyone in those days to care that much about their servant. They were considered to be human tools. But this man has a heart and sees the heart of Jesus and understands something deeper about what Jesus is about. So he goes to Jesus, as many others had been doing, and he says, "My servant is suffering terribly." He mentions he's paralyzed. "Say the word," says the centurion, "and he will be healed." Jesus says, "Well, do you want me to come?" Most likely, the centurion and this house was not far away. "Do you want me to come and heal him?" And this is the point of the story. The centurion says, "No, no, you don't need to come. Just say the word, and he will be healed. Just say the word." And at the end of that story, we find Jesus saying, "I haven't seen such faith anywhere, even among the faithful of Israel." The story is not about the healing of the centurion, but the confident prayer of this man. It's not about the healing of his servant. It's about the confident prayer of the centurion. He had that kind of confidence in Jesus and in what Jesus could do. It was a prayer. You can pray confidently, knowing that when our prayers are consistent with the character and nature of God, God hears our prayers and responds according to our need. Not always our wants, but God responds. Numerous times, as you would expect, and with some of you, I have been asked to pray for the bodily healing of a certain person. Someone comes, they have a disease, they have an illness, they have an accident. Pray for their healing. And I do, knowing that healing and wholeness and holiness all come from the same root word. And that the ultimate healing is heaven. We just spoke about Miriam and Bobby. They each had ailments of body. No more. The ultimate healing of heaven is the wholeness that we all so desire. So when people ask me, pray for their healing, oh, I do, because it's God's work, not mine. But should it not happen? Could it be something else is in mind? Could it be that God has plans for that person's illness to be the witness of faith as they walk through the illness? Could it be that that person's failure or another person's crisis is not solved, is not remediated, but because of that crisis or failure, others will watch them live a life of faith and grow in their own faith? That's how God sometimes works. Yes, we confidently pray to God, trusting God's answers are far better than ours, because God knows the long term. You can pray confidently. You can also pray boldly. When this centurion asked for the healing, he was being very bold. He didn't know Jesus. He simply went on hearsay because he'd heard Jesus was healing others. He was bold in what he asked. When our prayers are consistent with God's nature and character, you can ask bold things because God desires to answer the prayers of our hearts when they are consistent with God's overall will and purpose and plan for us. Therefore, God is truth. We know that. So you can be bold in praying that God give you wisdom, which is a part of truth. We know that God is strong. So you can be bold in asking God to give you strength to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We know that God is all-knowing, including the future. So you can be bold in asking God to guide you in the decisions that you have to make. We know that God is all-powerful. So you can be bold in asking God to change the heart of someone in your life who needs that change. We know that God is all love. So you can be bold in asking God to give you so much love that you can accept and forgive someone who has harmed you. That's boldness in prayer. In your family, it's the same thing. The ones that God's put in our lives who are most dear to us, we can be bold in praying for our families because God is peace. So when our prayers are that peace reign in and among our families, that's a bold prayer, but that's what God wants because it's consistent with His nature and character. When in your family there's a loss of hope, we know that God is the God of hope. So you can pray confidently and boldly that God will bring hope into a family situation that feels so hopeless. We know that God is compassion. So you can boldly pray that God give you a compassionate heart to care for those in your family that are hard to care for. When your prayers are consistent and fit the nature and character of God, when they're the right size, God hears those prayers and is far more likely to respond according to His will. And in the church, we pray boldly as well. The Caravan of Hope that we just finished is a wonderful example. We read the scriptures. Jesus fed 5,000. God said, "What are you guys doing to?" Okay. So 20 people came together with nothing but a vision. And we boldly prayed because we had 12 weeks to do it all in. We boldly prayed, "God, show us how. Provide for us. We'll go. Show us how." And look what has happened. As that bold prayer resulted in the completion and the success, feeding 5,500 people with joy and blessing throughout the whole process. About 15 years ago, I stood near our neighboring property. It was a lumber yard. And that lumber yard was just perfect to be a part of our campus so that our ministry could grow, because our buildings and property were constraining us. And that lumber yard just would be perfect, contiguous. And so I remember walking over, there was a fence around it, it was Conklin Lumber. And I remember walking over, I put my hand on the fence. I said, "God, if it is your will for us to have this property someday, to grow the ministry and mission you've entrusted us with, let it happen." And sure enough, Within just a few months, as we had heard might happen, it became available. And others came around, and then we boldly prayed, God, if you want us to have it, we're going to need a whole lot of money, because we had none. Here, these many years later, this year we celebrate 10 years that Trinity House and the Barn have been open and serving this community and this church. These many years later, we look back and say, God answered our bold prayer that His kingdom might expand through the church in this place. But finally, in our prayers, while they can be confident when they fit the character of God, while they can be bold when they connect to the nature of God, our prayers always must be humble. And that's what 1 John's letter tells us. John, in writing to the church, clearly says what is said elsewhere, and Jesus Himself said, that our prayers always have to be in accordance with the will of God. Always in accordance with the will of God. He wrote, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will. Jesus said as much too. He said, my food, when they were talking about food at one point, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. And what, the last night before He died, what did He say? Let this cup of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, what? Your will be done. So when we pray, we always, as I always do, include according to Your will, Lord. Knowing that sometimes we understand God's will, but often we don't. But that ultimately and in God's time, His will come to pass. And so it is in faith that we wait and trust. Some of you have seen the movie Bruce Almighty. It's a fun movie with Jim Carrey about how this character thinks he knows more than God, so God says, okay, you be God for a while. Well, it doesn't work out. Doesn't work out so well, and it's a really funny movie. There's a scene where, near the end, where Bruce has lost the love of his life. And he's talking to God, Morgan Freeman, and he's talking to God about, please God, what I want is to have her back in my life. What I want is to have her love me again. And God questions his prayer, because that's what he's been praying. God questions his prayer and asks him to reconsider and to rephrase this prayer that it might be more in accordance with God's will. Watch.
What do you really care about?
And that's a prayer, because it's consistent with God's will. It's not about what I want, but what God wants for another person. That's a prayer. My friends, do not grow weary in praying. Do not become angry when God seems not to answer your prayer or as you wish, but rather pray confidently and boldly and humbly, acknowledging the nature and character of God Himself. Come before God with your prayers and be still, trusting that in His own will, in His own way, in His own time, God answers prayer.